Lord says, and as he thus spoke, speaking of Paul, as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, there beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Look again at verse number 24. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, there beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we're in the Word of the Lord. I would preach this morning, if the Lord helped me on this subject. I'm not crazy, I'm just saved. I'm not crazy, I'm just saved.
Amen.
This passage finds the great Apostle Paul on trial before King Agrippa and the Roman governor Festus, and Paul is given the opportunity to give a defense for his actions. Paul uses the setting as an opportunity to share his salvation testimony. And when these pagan rulers hear what Paul has to say and what happened to him on that Damascus road and how he claims what the Lord had called him to do, Festus got beside himself. He went crazy. And he began to shout and scream with a loud voice. And he said, Paul, so much learning doth made thee mad. Said, you've gone crazy is what's the matter with you. But in verse 25, Paul said, I'm not mad, O noble, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. In other words, Festus, I'm not crazy. I'm just saved. Amen. Friend, the same things happen to you if you've testified very often and told very many people about what you know about the Lord and what the Lord has done for you and in you and to you and through you and what He's called you to do and how the Lord's touched your life. They said, you're crazy. I mean, you don't mean it. What you're saying can't be right. You've got to be crazy. But oh no, I'm not crazy this morning. I'm just saved. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Hey, they told Paul, said, you're acting like a madman. Have all of this education, all that learning, reading that Bible so much has made you lose your minds. What's happened to you? Every time we turn around, you're reading some more of the Bible. You're studying some more of that Word of God. And you've studied the Bible so much and learned so much about it. You've lost your mind. You've just gone overboard. I mean, you're a madman's what you are, Paul. Hey, they think he's crazy. And now listen, this word mad is the word we derive our word mania or maniac from. They say, Paul, you're a maniac. What's wrong with you? You've lost your mind. I mean, you've got to the place. And listen, that word mania means, my friend, or is characterized by roaming to and fro and searching for answers, up to changing your mind and the multitudinous occasions. And my friend, not able to stay on one subject or stay with one thing. Listen, that didn't characterize Paul. Paul didn't know but one thing. Every time somebody asked him a question, he'd say, I remember this one time back on the Damascus Road when I saw a light. I mean, he didn't change from one thing to another. He was always talking about the same thing. He was not crazy. He was just saved. Amen. And listen this morning, friend. The world looks at us and I feel this thing we call Christianity and why we live for Jesus, and they conclude it's because we're crazy. But I want to say I'm not crazy. I'm just saved. I want you to notice this morning three areas of Paul's testimony that Festus and the other folks thought were crazy. And by the way, the world thinks we're crazy for the very same reasons. I want you to see what the world thinks is so crazy about. That's no more than mere Christianity. I'm preaching today on I'm not crazy. I'm just saved. Amen. First of all, Paul's claims have seemed crazy. His claims have seemed crazy. Verses 13 through 22, he claims to have seen some things and experienced some things, and his claims have seemed crazy. He claimed, my friend, what were the claims he made? He claimed to have seen a light. In verse number 13, he said, at midday, in the middle of the day, at lunchtime, O king, I saw in the way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and then was turning with me. In the middle of the day, in the lunchtime, I saw a light that was brighter than the sun in heaven. It outshone the sun. They said, Paul, you're crazy. There's never been a light in the middle of the
day in the heavens brighter than the sun. Paul, you're crazy. He claimed to have seen the light. Secondly, he claimed to have met the Lord. Isn't that right? Verses 14 through 18, he talks about the one saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecuted. Them fellows on this court said, wait a minute, Paul. Wait a minute now. We know about what happened in Jerusalem. We heard about this man being crucified. They buried him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He's dead, sure as the world. You're telling us you're talking to dead people? That fellow's dead's the one you're talking to? You've got to be crazy, Paul. You're talking to dead people. Amen. He claimed that he had seen the light. He claimed that he had met the Lord. He claimed that he had abandoned his old life. Verses 19 through 22, he said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he begins to tell him about his ministry. He even comes all the way down to verse 22. And he said, having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. I mean, I abandoned my old life. What it used to be and who it was. All the wealth, all the prominence, all the preeminence, all the fame, all the power. I abandoned all of that. And I became what the Lord told me to do. Well, Paul's claims may have sounded bizarre to these pagan rulers, but to anybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, they make absolute sense. Amen. Thank God he was not crazy. He was just saved. Amen. They make plenty of sense to us. I mean, everybody who's been saved knows what it's like to have seen the light, don't you? Amen. Paul said, I saw light. They said, you're crazy. But every one of us that's saved knows what it's like to have seen the light. I mean, 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 said that we have seen the light of the glorious gospel. And then 2 Peter chapter number, or 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 9 said, he had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I'm glad I've seen the light. Amen. I'm glad I've seen the light. Somebody said it's crazy. Oh, no. That's what it means to be saved. You have seen the light. What light are you talking about? I'm talking about the light of the glorious gospel. The light that shines its light and its brightness on your knees. Shows you your deeds are evil. Shows you your need of a Savior. Reveals to you you've got to have God. And besides Him, you're without help and hope. I'm glad the Lord has shined that light on my path. Amen. Every person's been saved can relate to Paul. He said, I saw a light. He said, I met the Lord. Boy, I'm glad that everybody that's been saved can relate to what Paul said, ain't you? I'm glad I can say I've met the Lord. I've met the Lord. They said, Paul, that man was dead. He said, yeah, he was dead. But he's alive and alive forevermore. Hey, listen, friend, I've met the Lord. It was the one that was dead. It was the one that passed away on the cross. It was the one that gave up his spirit and that his father was placed in a tomb. That on the third glorious morning rose and that lives forevermore. I'm glad I met the Lord. He that believe, hey, listen, we see the Bible says, what the mouth confession is made in the righteousness, what the heart man believes, and the saving of the soul. We believe, my friend, that God hath raised Christ from the dead. He said in Romans 10 and 9, Ephesians 2 and 8 said, it's by grace. Through faith, I'm not dependent on having seen the tomb and know that he's not there. No, friend, matter of fact, if you could find a tomb and produce a body, I wouldn't believe a word of it. You know why? Because I've met the Lord. I've already met him. I know that he's alive. The world thinks that's crazy. Tonight at 9 o'clock, there'll be some heathens gather around on the television and try to tell everybody in America that they found the dead carcass of our Lord Jesus. But I want to tell you something, friend. If you do find the tomb of the Lord, it'll be empty. You might find the grave cloth, and you might even see an angel that said he's not here, but he's risen. But you won't find the body of the Lord, because he's alive and alive forevermore and has the keys to death and hell. How do you know, preacher? Because I met him when I was a 13-year-old boy. They caught a football field in Paulding County. The Lord came by my way and saved me by grace and put me in this good way. Oh, yes, I met the Lord. Amen.
Matter of fact, much more than just having met him, I'm now in him and he's in me. Matter of fact, when he gets in you and you gets in him, brother, I'm telling you, you'll know you've met the Lord then. I'm glad I know what that's like. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, Ephesians 2, 13 through 22 talks about being reconciled to God by him. You know what that means, don't you? That means that Christ took the hand of God and Christ took the hand of man and put their hands together again. Amen. I'm telling you, I've met the Lord. You may think it's crazy, but I know it just means I'm saved. Amen. Every saved person's done like Paul. We've seen the light. Every saved person's done like Paul. We've met the Lord. Every saved person's done like Paul. We've abandoned that old life. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I'm not abandoning my old life. That's what I said. Every saved person's like Paul. They've abandoned the old life. If you're still what you used to be, then you ain't saved. Amen. Every saved person's like Paul. He's abandoned that old life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Verse 18 said, and all things are of God. I'm telling you, I've abandoned that old life. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not yet what I'm going to be. But I'm not what I was. Amen. And I'm glad that I'm not. It makes me get excited when I consider where the Lord brought me from, where he brought me to, where he's taking me to, what the prospects of my future looks like. It makes me get excited. Hey. Now listen, you go down to ball game, little Johnny hit the home run, you'll stand up and scream bloody murder, that crazy, my friend, and you think that's normal. Here I am with eternal life, a man willing to die on a cross for me. I sound, folks says I'm crazy. I want to tell you something, I'm not crazy, but I am saved. Amen. Amen. Boy, a real Christian don't fit in with this world. He's an odd number. A real Christian is an odd number. I mean, he's a bird, friend. You don't have, matter of fact, if you'd really live straight and right and clean, do like you ought to do as a Christian, you wouldn't have to tell everybody you're a Christian. They'd just know. It'd show up all over you. I mean, it would show up all over you. Like that little boy in the kindergarten class, the teacher kept telling him how big God was, how he made everything in 6 days, rested on the seventh, how that it was that God held the whole world in his hand. And then went to telling them kids how that this same God could live down inside of us. That little boy raised his hand. He said, Ms. Smith, I'm not a doubting what you're saying is true. But if and what you're saying is true, appears to me if somebody big as what he is was to come live in somebody as small as what as I am, appears to me he'd be poking out everywhere. And I want to tell you, that's the way it is. When a God big as he is comes to live in a man small as we are, he does poke out everywhere. He'll show up on you. Everybody will be able to tell you've been with Jesus. A real Christian's an odd number. He's a bird. And the world can't understand him. The world can't put him in their box. The world can't figure out all the things he does, believes, and thinks, and all these things, and expects. And why in the world would you do so? Sunday morning, you could have been laying in the bed on early lunch, getting up, watching sports on ESPN, maybe going down at the lake and fishing, waiting on a fish that didn't show up somewhere or another. I mean, you could have been having a time, and yet you're down there at the church with a suit and a towel, sitting in the pews, listening to some fella get up there and stomp and snort and holler and sweat, or every one of you out of your mind, you must be crazy. Oh no, I'm just saved. Amen. And being saved makes me an odd number. I'm out of step with this world. I don't fit in with this society. An odd number. You know what a real Christian does? He feels supreme love for somebody he's never seen. Amen. He talks familiarly every day to one he cannot see. He fully expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. He's strange because he empties himself in order to be full. He admits he's wrong so he may be declared right. He goes down in order to get up. He's strongest when he's weakest. He's richest when he's poorest. He's happiest when he feels the worst. He dies
dies so he can live. He forsakes in order to have. He gives away in order to keep. He sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, believes the impossible. He knows that which passes knowledge. The world says he's crazy. The world says he's gone mad. The world says he's out of lockstep. The world says it don't make sense. But I'm a saying I'm not crazy. But hallelujah, I'm saved. Woo! Bless his high and holy name. Every saved person knows about the Apostle Paul. When the world hears a testimony of the redeemed saints, surely they think we're crazy. We talk about things that cannot be seen or handled. But to those who have been lost in the depths of sin and have made the trip to Calvary by faith and have met the risen Savior, it makes absolute perfect sense to us. We don't need a trip to Milledgeville. We got, matter of fact, the crazy folks ain't them folks in Milledgeville. It's the folks everywhere else that don't know the Lord. The fool said in his heart there is no God. The man that thinks he can go to heaven on his own good works is the ones that's crazy, not them that's been saved. Paul's claims seemed crazy. I want to say secondly this morning, Paul's conversion seemed crazy. Verses 5 through 12, man, we go to watching him and seeing about all the mess that's going on in his life and all the mess that's going on in the land, and how that Paul began to seek after to kill the Christians, how he began to seek after to destroy them and to persecute them. I mean, think about all the things that Paul was before he was saved. And when you look at his conversion, it seems crazy to me and you. It seems odd. It seems a bit of a spectacular conversion. I mean, verse number 5, we find that he was a religious man, which knew me, he said, from the beginning. If they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. I was the most religious of all there was. I was the straightest and the cleanest and was of the greatest degree of Pharisee. I was a religious man. Well, Philippians chapter number 3, look at what it says here. Philippians chapter number 3, I don't read it to you. You don't mind to mark it. Go back and read it later on. Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, that which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, by the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul said, I was the most religious of all those that were religious. I had more religion than anybody. Matter of fact, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews to the nth degree. Had all the wing deans and all of my friend the attaboy buttons and all of that stuff and the pats on the back. I mean, I had every award that they could offer. I sat on the highest court in the land, and yet when I look at it now, I count all those things but loss. I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It means absolutely nothing to me. The man that I was and the religious position I held, now that I'm saved, I see how silly all that was. I mean, I'd just rather have Jesus and all of that. The world says, man, that don't make sense. The Apostle Paul had it all figured out for him at the Lord. Seems like he was a religious man. He was a religious man, but being religious don't get you to heaven, friend. The world looks at these kids raised in church and thinks for sure if they've been good boys and girls, one day they'll go to heaven. But I want to tell you something, young'uns. You don't go to heaven because you've been good. You go to heaven because you've been saved. Hey. You don't go to heaven because you've been to church, because your daddy preached, your mama played the piano, or somebody in your family sang in a choir. You go to heaven because you've been born again. Amen. The Apostle Paul was a religious man, but he still wasn't saved. He was a zealous man. chapter number 26, back where we were, verses 9 through 11, he said, I verily thought myself to do that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I did also in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that are set up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even to strange cities, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. He said, I had been doing all these things and I was headed to Damascus to do it some more. Notice what he said though. I just noticed this just now. I hadn't really paid attention to it till just now. I noticed in verse 11 it said, and being exceedingly mad. He said, Agrippa, no, I'm not mad now. I was mad. I was crazy. I was insane. But I'm now saved. I've got it all together now. You think I'm mad or mad man now? No. I was exceeding mad. I was crazy. I was, my friend, vengeful. I was like that. But since the Lord came by, it's different now. Oh, so different now. I mean, I'm not crazy. I'm just saved.
You look at Paul, man, the kind of person he was, how zealous he was against Christ. You'd say a man like that won't ever get saved. Paul must be just crazy. He's just telling a tale. Oh no, he wasn't crazy, he's saved. Some of you was to stand up tonight, and if you were to really be honest and tell your whole testimony where you were and the mess you was in, the junk that is in your life before you ever got born again, there'd be people in this building say, now, I just don't know about that now. I don't know if the Lord deal with somebody, save somebody like, man, I'm telling you, I didn't know this in that, man. It'd drive you crazy if you understood what kind of mess some of these people in this building this morning is in before they ever got saved by the grace of God. I mean, you look at them now and you think, man, Lord, ain't they right with God? Ain't it wonderful they're saved? And praise God they're living that way. And I thank God. Hey, you look at them and say, now he's a good fella. Or she's a good lady. But boy, if you'd have knew them for the Lord come on their life, the scene in their lives, you wouldn't have thought that. You'd have said, they won't ever get saved. They're crazy is what they are. Now the world looks at them and says they're crazy. But they're really crazy before they got saved. And now the Lord's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sane mind. The maniac of Gadara was a crazy man, running around the tombs naked as a jaybird, cutting himself with stones, cussing and swearing and tearing chains too. I lose friend when they tried to put him in prison. That lesson friend, when the Lord came by, they found him seated, clothed in his right mind, at the feet of Jesus. I'm not crazy, I'm just saved.
Some of you remember when you was a lost person ranting and raving and acting crazy. You remember that, don't you? If you don't, your family does. I can assure you that. If you can't remember it, somebody else can remind you of it. I promise you that. Amen. Used to cuss and swear and jump up and down and pitch fits and act crazy and stomp around. And you thought you had it figured out. Amen. Get drunk and stagger around, act like a fool, forget where you had been the night before, and yet you didn't even understand how crazy you were. You thought you had it all together. Amen. I mean, you thought, friend, that you had the tiger by the tail and everything was all right, and you was acting crazy the whole time. But I'm so glad for the night when Dr. Jesus came by my way and put sanity in my life. And now the world says I'm crazy, but I know I'm just saved. I'm going to say that about 10 or 12 more times. And I hope when you leave out of here today, you remember what we preached on today. Amen. Not crazy, I'm just saved. Next week, somebody's probably going to tell you that you're crazy. There'll probably be somebody that'll tell you, you mean you do that? You read the Bible every day? You believe it literally? You believe in all the promises. You mean you went to church Sunday morning and to the nursing home Sunday afternoon and back again on Sunday night? And you plan on going back on Wednesday night again and reading the Bible every day in between? You must be crazy. Oh no, I'm just saved. Woo! Bless his name. Acts 7:58, the Apostle Paul stood there and held the coats of those that stoned Stephen for preaching the very same gospel that Paul's preaching here. And they said, fellas, if he's telling us that he went from killing these folks to doing exactly what they're doing, he's got to be crazy. You remember the days when you hated the people at the church. You hated the preacher. Some of you come here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or whatever it might have been, and you told your wife or your husband, your neighbor, your friend, you said, that man up there preaching's crazy. And all them people at that church is crazy. And all them people going to that altar is crazy. And they ain't never going back again. Them's the craziest people I ever saw. They went to singing, it's different now. Everybody in the choir went to raising their hands and a crying. And someone went to shouting, and there's girls and boys, a 14, 15, 16 year old to come to altar, and some of them even shouted, they're raising their youngers crazy. That whole bunch has lost their mind. They sang Amazing Grace and tears dipped over their chins. Some of them got on the altar and prayed on their hands and knees and wept puddles of tears and said it felt good. I mean, I'm going to tell you, that whole crowd's crazy. And they ain't never going back again. But somehow another Sunday morning come around and you fidgeted and you pounced. I walked back and forth looking for answers and looking for love. And why you so thinking everybody else is crazy? You were the one acting insane. And you said, I'm going back again. See them old crazy people. I think they've all lost their mind. But I'm going back one more time. Oh, thank God I'm glad I went one more time, ain't you? Thank God. And the Lord come by and swept you off of your feet. You found out they weren't crazy. Let's just say. Well, I'm feeling like running to Goobertown, Arkansas this morning. I'm glad I'm birthing the family of God. I don't know what it's like to have the Lord living down within. I'm not crazy, but I am saved. Amen. Well, well. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Well, I'm going to tell you, thank God, if some of us were to stand tonight this morning and give our testimony and tell everybody in here where the Lord's brought us from, it'd sound like we was reading out the epistles of the Apostle Paul. I'm going to tell you, he can save anybody from any background with any previous sin. Ain't nothing too hard for God. He was a zealous man. I want to say he was a man of considerable wealth, position, power, influence. Verse number 12, he said, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, he had the letters in hand ready to go kill the rest of the church. Yet when Paul met the risen Lord, he simply walked away from his old life and began to serve the Lord. I mean, the Apostle Paul was going with the king's authority in his hand, but the King of Kings interrupted his trip. Amen. And he told them fellows, he said, hey, you ought to have been there. While I was going to kill the Christians, the head of the whole crew showed up. And he turned my life around. I went to Damascus with a plan to kill. By the time I got there, I was a preaching. Amen. I'm going to tell you, somebody said, hey, it can't happen. He's lost his mind. Well, no, he just got saved. He just got saved.
Thank God.
This is what happens to every sinner when they meet the Lord. One creature has different habits, interests, likes, tastes, and so forth from another creature. And we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. I mean, I'm not the man that I used to be, and I don't do the things that I used to do. You mean you don't want to do so-and-so, preacher? Why don't you want to do that anymore? Because I'm not what I used to be anymore. I'm not who I was, so don't do what I used to do. Amen. When you encounter that old crowd, they're going to think you've lost your mind. But remember, you're not crazy. You're just saved. Amen. Paul's conversion seemed crazy. His claim seemed crazy. I want to say his calling seemed crazy. Now listen to this. Paul claims to have seen a light that was brighter than the sun. He claims to have talked to a dead man. He's now alive again, so he says. He says that this once dead man has called to him out of this light brighter than the sun and told him to leave behind a life of affluence, influence, power, prestige, position, prominence, and prosperity, to go all over the world and tell everybody else he meets that they too should follow this fellow that once was dead, but now is alive. And these guys sitting on this court said, Paul, that does not make a bit of sense to us. You're crazy is what you are. That must have sounded absolutely ridiculous to everybody in the courtroom. But it is truth. But just as crazy as it sounded, you know what made it worse? The Apostle Paul said, I heard every bit of that. The Lord told me to do that. And you know what? I was not disobedient to the command. He said, I did just exactly what. Man, it was crazy enough for him to have said that the Lord told him to do it. What is even worse to them was that he actually went and did it. The Lord said, go preach about a dead man that's now alive. And he said, I was not disobedient to the command. I've done just exactly what he said. I've took the gospel everywhere I could. I've obtained help from the Lord. I'm continuing to do it. Even unto this day, he said, verse 22, I mean, in Paul's life, the change was so real and the calling he had and received was so compelling that he couldn't help but fulfill it and tell others about Jesus and what he had done in his life. He couldn't help but tell what Jesus could do for them too. Well, I'm not asking you today, did you receive that same call that rested on Paul's shoulders? And my friend, it's been placed on us as well. I mean, it's surreal in my life. I can't help but tell others what he's done for me and can do for them and can change them, and they too can be saved. Amen.
Go and tell all the world, every creature. When you feel compelled to tell someone about a crucified, risen, returning, and reigning Lord named Jesus, it does not mean you're crazy. It just means you're saved. Everybody that you know ought to know that you know Jesus. I like what Brother Eddie says quite often. If everybody around you don't know your salvation story, it's because you ain't telling it enough. And I'll say amen to that. In that kangaroo court that day, all the roles were reversed. The only sane man in the room was in chains while the nuts were running the show. The craziest people in the world today are not in places like mental institutions up at Rome and down in Milledgeville. Oh, no, the craziest people in the world are those who are lost in sin and will not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The fool said in his heart, there's no God. Some of the biggest fools in our world sitting on college campi, declaring themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's right. They think they know everything and they're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's exactly right, but we're not crazy. Just saved. The fellow with a second grade education that can hardly pronounce his own name, that knows the Lord's got better sense than the man with a PhD who denies that there's a God. May we who are saved never be ashamed of who we are or what the Lord's done for us. May we never feel like people will think we're crazy. We're not crazy if you've had enough sense to trust Jesus as your Savior and you're headed to heaven, friend. You're saved by grace. Your sins have been washed away. You're not crazy. You're just saved, thank God. That crowd that doesn't know Jesus, they're in a crazy bunch. They're the ones running here and there looking for answers, looking for love, looking for help, looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. We're the ones who have found the answer to all of life's questions and the solutions to all of our problems, both temporal and eternal. It's in Jesus. I'm not crazy, but thank God I'm saved.
Don't be intimidated by a bunch of people who have been driven insane by sin and think you're crazy. They're the ones with the problem, not you. They're the crazy ones. As for you and me, we ain't crazy. We're just saved. Owner, this morning, I got a question for you. Are you crazy or are you saved? I just told you the fool's the one that denied the Lord, said there's no God, wouldn't trust in the Lord for his salvation. I'm asking you this morning, are you crazy or are you saved? Until the maniac of Gadara met the Lord Jesus, he was a maniac, which is where we get that word mad, the same thing they accused the Apostle Paul of being here, crazy. Are you crazy or are you saved? When he met the Lord, he was found seated clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Are you crazy or are you saved? I wonder this morning, how about you? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? I want you to come on with a song. I want to ask you another question this morning. Those of you that saved, you're not crazy, but you are saved. Now listen to me. I want to ask you a question. Are you more concerned about what the crazy world's going to think about you, whether or not they're going to call you crazy if you share your faith with others, than what you are pleasing the Lord? When a man comes to love the Lord like he ought to love the Lord, he's more concerned about God being pleased with him than the crazy world being pleased with him. You're more concerned about folks calling you crazy than what you are making sure everybody knows how to be saved. I want the world to know. I want everybody to know. Man, I'm telling you, listen, hey, if tonight or today we was to find a cure for cancer, Brother John, and I was to have a cure for cancer, absolutely, I'd want everybody in the world to have it. Ain't that right?
Sure.
And that's just a temporal, an earthly illness, a temporary illness. When you die, cancer gone, you go on to glory. You die without the Lord, you're going to hell. But that's just a temporary thing, cancer is. Called Miss Selma Brown. She was going for some tests. They thought she might have had some cancer. Turns out it was just a scare and it was not cancer. But she told me, she said, preacher said cancer's a scary word, but she said sin's a lot scarier to me. If we had the cure for cancer, we'd be wanting to tell everybody about it. We got the cure for something a whole lot worse, and yet we're keeping it to ourselves. Now, what if I was to have written down a piece of paper today, Brother David, the cure for cancer, and I was to stick it in my pocket and tell everybody in here, hey, fellas, won't y'all know I got the cure for cancer. It's right here in my pocket. Everybody in this building, if you really believed I had it, be coming up here and asking me for it, wouldn't you? I mean, I wouldn't have to be standing up here telling y'all, but you'd be coming to me and asking me for it, wouldn't you? Matter of fact, you'd come to me and you'd say, Brother Toby, I don't have cancer, but now my neighbor, my friend, my uncle, my aunt, my son, my daughter, my grandma, my grandpa, whatever, they've got cancer. And I want, if you give me a call, just let me write that down. I'll take it. I said, no. You don't understand. See, I'm not interested in telling anybody else about it. I've just got this cure in case I ever get cancer. See, if I get cancer, then it'll fix my problem. And see, that's all I'm really concerned about, making sure I got myself straight. Now, that's about where you are if you're saved by the grace of God. You don't ever tell nobody about it. You've got an answer for the sin problem. You've got an answer for somebody's sickness, and yet you're keeping it all to yourself and not helping nobody with it.
Right.
You ought to tell somebody about it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to let the world know that you know Jesus. You don't have to walk around all the time with the Jesus button on your chest, but if you'll be saved by the grace of God and live saved and walk before them a Christian life, they'll see Jesus all over you, and if they'll find out you got the cure for what they've got, they'll be chasing you down for it before it's all said and done. If you really live saved and anointed before the Lord, that's right. Get some courage about yourself this morning, some courage. I wonder this morning, you need to do business with God. Are you where you need to be with the Lord? Are you being saved by the grace of God? Are you walking daily with Christ? Maybe you need to pray. Would you stand? You need to come do business with the Lord. Would you come today? Sing for us, sister.
Do you know how it feels to know something's missing and hear a still small voice that you just keep dismissing? Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on the cross someone died? Do you know how it feels wherever you roam, you still get the feeling that you're not at home, knowing heaven is real? Tell me, do you know how it feels? And how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the